Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPM number 105. That's Bais Pnimi, Shir for Men, Shir number 105. In this book, we mentioned in the last year about a divorced husband that developed some self-awareness and dedicated his life now to teach other men to prevent making the mistakes that he made. He said, frankly, he always thought himself as a good person. And by the way, after reading this book, there's no reason to believe that he wasn't, in his level, a good person. And the reason to mention that is that you could get yourself into a mess even though you are inherently a good person. Right? So we often think, I'm a good person. I love my wife who thinks and feels good things towards her. And I would never harm her intentionally. So I'm a good husband. But that is, what he says, silly. It's absurd. Because there are so many examples of loving, amazing, admirable human beings who may be not so good at performing particular functions and roles. And we may not be able to just automatically be good husbands. You know, you could have skills in driving race cars or designing buildings that won't fall down. Or fixing broken watches. That has nothing to do with about what type of person you are overall. You know, so developing knowledgeable expertise on a particular subject matter, as well as to master the skill to perform those tasks at a high level, requires study and requires practice. So most of us are uninformed. We don't know enough about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro overall. We haven't mastered the subject of working on our character pertaining to interpersonal relationships, certainly not to our own wives. So imagine if you're in a cooking school and you're whipping together an omelet that has runny eggs and the vegetables are rotten and the vinegar, whatever you use, is spoiled. And then you tell the cooking instructor that hates your food, you did this. You don't like me. You're biased. And that's how you sound to your wife often. You produce this garbage stuff and you expect her to say she likes it. And we get very defensive about this. We look like what's wrong? You know, some things we basically believe she's ridiculous. And she's not ridiculous at all. So the wife, for example, will say, you did something that hurt me, not a little, a lot. It feels like you don't love me. And I don't know how I'm supposed to trust you and how I'm supposed to feel confident that we have a peaceful, sustainable marriage when you constantly say hurtful things to me. And in your mind, and you may even say it to your wife, that's silly, that's stupid. I never would want you to feel hurt. And therefore, you shouldn't feel hurt. I love you. I'm a nice person. People like me. You're literally the only person who ever complains about me. You treat me like I'm a bad husband. I'm a good person. And because in your mind you're a good person, you assume therefore you're a good husband. And what we're learning the hard way, but it's a good way, that we could in our minds be a good person. First of all, we could be a better person than we are, even if we are good. And secondly, that doesn't necessarily translate in being a good husband. So we dismiss her arguments. We paskin on it. They're being over-emotional. That your wife is inaccurate. It's an ungrateful wife who's lacking perspective. That's why she's saying this. She's clueless. And she says, I feel unloved. And you're thinking, what do you mean you feel unloved? I love you more than anyone else. I marry you. I provide you with parnasa. You know, it's Hashem does it, but I'm a shliach here. And I gave up my single life to spend my life with you. But while you're talking, really you're being ungrateful and tone deaf. You know, but you say to yourself, well, I'm faithful, I'm loyal, I'm not committing crimes, I'm not staying all night drinking. So, what are you saying? I'm not a good husband? I don't do all those horrible things that bad men do, that bad husbands do. I don't cheat. I have overall good Shmir Seinayim and daven well and so on and so forth. But what we need to realize, and I'm talking to myself too, remember that. Good men can still be bad husbands. Good people can be bad spouses. It's hard to come to this conclusion, but it's very true. You may be hurting your wife in very deep ways without even realizing that you're hurting her, because we haven't been taught the skills, or we haven't developed that sensitivity that we need to develop. You know, and therefore, it's important to avoid those traps that we fall into. Now, he calls these traps invalidation, triple threat traps. There's an invalidation that you invalidate your wife, and it erodes every time you practice this and you do this. It erodes the trust. It weakens the bond of the marriage. Now, in order to understand this in general on the stereotypes between the sexes and the genders, is that it doesn't fit with everybody. For example, you could have sometimes the mother going out to work and the husband staying home or dealing with the babysitter and then coming home from learning, taking care of the kids, and the husband doing the majority of the housework, and it's the mother that's disorganized in the house. Sometimes it is the husband that's more the emotional one and the wife the more the intellectual one. So the stereotypes. But going back to what we just said, he calls this an invalidation triple threat. There are three distinct invalidating ways, and that's the, according to him, a number one marriage killer. It actually kills your marriage when you do this invalidation. And here is the idea. You have to remember this. You may think that your wife is trying to make you uncomfortable, that she's trying to hurt you or trying to make you crazy or trying to punish you or any negative emotion that she feels. The more honest version, that's what's happening to your wife when she's expressing those negative emotions, often painful emotions, deep down, it's because she feels hurt or sad or afraid or stressed or anxious, and thus it turns into frustration and anger. Her objective is not to make you uncomfortable when she tells you what's bothering her. She's not trying to attack your character. She's not to complain what a garbage husband you are. That is not her. It may sound like that to you. And of course, on the other side of the mechitza, we talk about how she could convey it in a nicer way, but she doesn't intend any of those negative things. That's very important to realize. She just wants you to become aware of something negative or painful that she's experiencing, or she was experiencing, something bad that happened to her that she wants, or that she feels based on your behavior, that she wants you to be made aware of. How else would you know? So she wants to convey that to you. She wants to recruit you to help her move forward, to help her stop hurting. That if you're hurting your wife and she feels that way, she just wants you to stop. She doesn't want to attack you. She just wants you to stop. But we, in our self-defensiveness, view it as an attack. As an attack to our ego, attack to our humanity, attack to who we are. So your wife's efforts to communicate and connect with you, they're really concerned, and it's out of love most of the time. Most of the time. And if you understand, you know, and what we say, no, if you understand the way, the situation, like I understand it, we tell ourselves, I'm innocent from all the wrongdoing. So you shouldn't feel bad. You wife shouldn't feel bad. So the first invalidating threat is saying and assuming that my wife's thoughts were wrong. Something happens and your wife experiences pain or anger or embarrassment or fear or sadness, and she tells you, this happened and it makes me feel terrible. I'm thinking, you know, my thoughts, this is a terrible thing. And we'd say, wait a minute, it didn't happen the way you're saying. You're getting the facts wrong. You shouldn't feel hurt because you're wrong about what happened. What actually happened was this, this, and that. So you're basically invalidating by judging your wife's recollection of events, or you're questioning her perception of reality, and you're telling her your perception of reality is fundamentally flawed. It didn't happen the way you thought of it. And you say to yourself, if the so-called painful event weren't actually painful, since it didn't happen the way you said it did, then it's no longer any reason for you, husband, to feel bad about it or to continue to make yourself responsible for your feelings. So the problem is solved. It has nothing to do with you. That's how you rationalize it away. So that's the invalidating triple threat. This is the number one threat. You assume your wife's thoughts are wrong. Then you say your wife's feelings are wrong. That's number two. You invalidate her feelings. And you say it's no big deal. You're judging their emotional experiences, and you're saying it's out of alignment with what you perceive was the fear response, what you perceive the appropriate response should be. And you are basically bashing your wife, saying that's an overreaction, or sometimes that's an underreaction. And you tell yourself, and you rationalize to her, you, wife, you're overreacting. If you recalibrate your feelings not to care so much about that, you won't feel bad anymore, just like me, that I don't feel bad about it. So my emotions are clearly better and healthier than your emotions. So the first threat is on her thoughts, and her second threat is on her feelings. The third one, which is the most dangerous one and the most damaging one and the most common one, is you present a justifiable defense. You explain yourself away. You explain that it, say, pretty much similar to the other two, but if you understand the situation like I understood it, you'll see I'm innocent of everything. So don't feel bad. You're defending your actions. You did something hurtful and you're saying, you know, you're not getting it. You're getting it all wrong. And this is the worst of it. We're going to explain in the next year why it's the worst of it, because you're invalidating her whole perception of reality, and you're removing yourself from the responsibility of things. So to be messiah this year, just to bring up an important point, is that these shiurim that we're talking about, of being really self-introspective and looking deep into ourselves, is for the benefit. It's not to bash ourselves to the point of yish and despair, which spirals us downward. It's to catch ourselves and realize we can be a better version of who we really are. We're not expressing the best version of ourselves. And these shiurim are so crucial, if you take it the right way, saying, I am a good person and I can be a good husband. I just need to learn the skills and change my behaviors. And things will change dramatically for the better. Bracha and Hatzlacha.